It's On Second Thought. I'm Adam Ragusa, and today for Celeste Headlee. It's a new year, which means most everyone wants to be healthier. You could spend your time jogging, doing yoga, watching your caloric intake, or, turns out, going to church. New research from Emory University finds that regular attendance at religious ceremonies can improve one's health and lower mortality. With me now, the lead author on that study is Ellen Eidler. She's a professor of sociology at Emory. Hi, Ellen.
Hi.
Also along for the ride is Harold Bennett. Harold Bennett, chair of the Department of Philosophy and Religion at Morehouse College. Hi, Harold.
Hey, how you doing, friend?
Doing all right. Ellen, what made you want to research this topic?
It's not the first study that's shown an association between higher religious attendance and greater survival, but there was a data set. This is the Health and Retirement Study from the University of Michigan. That's a national study representative of the population of the United States. And it had a 10-year period of follow-up for mortality. And it had really good measures of other things we call the social determinants of health. So it was an opportunity to do really a better analysis than has been done previously.
Harold, what's your take on what you read in Ellen's research?
Well, I think of several things. On the one hand, I think there is something to be said about being involved in religious service and how that can add to one's quality of life and perhaps longevity. However, though, I am concerned about not just the business of being in a religious service as much as it is the communal aspect, the whole group aspect, and what happens with the group dynamics that may be the agents or may be responsible for persons perhaps having a longer level, being their lives just being extended. And I put that in parentheses, but I think it's that communal piece that's so important. There's a lot I could say about that. For example, I'll tell you why I'm concerned about that claim itself. Is that so often many of the things that can happen in a religious setting can actually happen in other settings. And so that's why I think the community piece is so critical to consider.
Indeed. And Ellen, to be clear, your research is merely proving the correlation between attending religious services and positive outcomes in health. You're not necessarily trying to argue any kind of causal factor, but if you were to argue a causal factor, what might it be?
Well, actually, we dug in that a little bit, and I would say Harold really put his finger on the important finding, because there were several ways that we looked at religion, but one of them, the one about attendance at religious services, that was the one that really had the big payoff. There was another question about how important is religion to you, and that didn't protect people from mortality at all. So kind of being in your head about religion, it has no protective effect on health. But the communal dimension that Harold mentions, that is really where the big effect was. And so we were able to find out maybe what are the characteristics of people who attend services more often. And we were able to find out in the Health and Retirement Study, just as many other studies have shown, that people who attend services more often are less likely to smoke cigarettes. They exercise more. They go more often for health screenings. And when you adjust for those things, it reduces the impact of just the plain out religious attendance measure. It reduces it a little bit. It doesn't eliminate it by any means. But if people who show up for services also smoke cigarettes less, they're going to have a better health outcome. And at the same time, getting to the communal dimension, we had some measures of social support. So people who attend services more often are also more likely to be volunteers in the community and for other organizations. And so often religious organizations give people ways to get involved. And so supporting others as well as being supported by them is another really important aspect of the social contact that comes with this participation part of it.
We asked some folks on the street what they think about this finding that religion could or practicing religion and being an involved member of a congregation could bring health benefits. And here's some answers from a couple of folks we ran into.
Hi, I'm Morgan. I'm from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
And I'm Arthur. I'm from Decatur, Georgia.
I could definitely see it making people be happier, yeah. I think it gives people a sense of purpose. Like, I have a lot of friends, like, for them, religion is really meaningful and it helps them when they're feeling down.
Kind of the same kind of thing, and get some fulfillment out of it, especially if, you know, your life's not going the way you want it to. You can find some solace in it.
We also spoke with Andy Cardona from Kansas.
I'm a Christian myself, so I believe it does make you happy, not just for the fact that religion does that, it's just the fact that you kind of find your purpose. Yeah, and that's something that a lot of people have to find, like their reason why to live for, you know? It can be like your dog, it can be like studying, but just as long as you find what you're the best at. And I think that's what sometimes religion brings to people.
We're talking about new research out of Emory University indicating pretty clear correlation between attendance at religious services and positive health outcomes, longer life. With us is the lead author in that study, Ellen Eidler, professor of sociology at Emory. Also with us is Harold Bennett, chair of the Department of Philosophy and Religion at Morehouse College. Harold, I wonder if... you know, some very simple causal factor at play here might simply be that going to church, going to services, being involved in a congregation simply gets one out of the house. And as you get older, a lot of folks have fewer and fewer opportunities to get out of the house and get moving.
Well, I think you're on to something. And this is what I mean when I say you're on to something. You're identifying perhaps some other variables that we need to put on the table. Here's why I make this claim. I guess in December 2017, the Huffington Post published a piece, and it's a very interesting statistic that they quoted. In that piece that they published by David Briggs, it says that 59% of African Americans actually go to church 3 to 4 times a week, whereas 39% of Euro-Americans perhaps are going. In fact, maybe even smaller than that. But here's the thing that's quite interesting to me. The mortality rate for African Americans is significantly higher than that is for whites. So I'm thinking that there's got to be something else. Is it going out of the house, or are there some other kinds of things that might contribute to a higher longevity rate, life expectancy rate, or living longer amongst the persons who were surveyed here? Maybe there's an economic piece. And I think our author does talk about that just a tad. Perhaps there's an economic piece that's involved. Maybe there's something we'd have to consider some other kinds of factors that are other sociological factors that might do that. But getting out of the house, perhaps that's one. But I think there are some other things we might want to expose and explore.
Yeah, the bigger picture, Ellen, that I think Harold is raising here is that religiosity is something that is, lots of research has indicated, is strongest in a lot of places and in a lot of communities that actually have particularly poor health outcomes, probably as a result of poverty. So how do these factors intersect?
That is such a great question. And I'd really like to respond to the other one, too, about aging
and getting
out of the house. But to take you the first one first, I think that that's a real important direction for future research. And this particular data set that we just took a first look at with this study is special because it has excellent measures of wealth and income and assets. Okay. And usually health studies don't have very good measures of poverty. But it's not just poverty, it's income across the whole spectrum. And the Health and Retirement Study specialized in those economic measures. So we'll be able to really look at that exact conundrum of why it is, and this isn't just true in the United States, that communities that have higher levels of poverty also are very likely to have higher levels of religious participation. But across the world, the poorest countries are also those with the most people saying that they are religious and most participation. And it's the rich Western industrialized countries of Western Europe and Asia that have extremely low levels of participation. So we know that these economic measures produce health outcomes, and we know that religion produces it. Figuring out how they fit together, to me, is the agenda for future research that I'm planning on working on. Is it okay if I come back to the aging question? Because that's really interesting, too. I teach epidemiology of aging at the Rollins School of Public Health, and I'm really interested in aging populations. It is true that older persons are more likely to attend religious services regularly. They have had higher rates of participation throughout their lives, and they continue them into old age. It's not like they get more religious when they're older. They just always were. Younger people are less religious and presumably will stay at a lower level throughout their lives, too. But religious participation offers a kind of social connection in old age that's really important. So Harold said, get out of the house. When people get older, they experience losses. They right. experience retirement and the loss of those connections that they had with mm-hmm. their workplace. They may lose their spouse. Their children are older, may move to very distant places. So their social networks contract. But the religious community is one that's available in every community. And all you have to do is show up, and they're happy to see you, even if you've never been there before. Especially if you've never been there before, they'll be real happy to see you. So, yeah. So it's a voluntary social tie that's available in communities. And many congregations provide transportation and outreach. They reach out to their elderly members to help them come in. And I live across from an assisted living, and on Sunday morning, there's a couple of vans that show up from a couple of different churches, and the residents there they're lined up with their walkers. They're excited to get on the van. They're going to get to go, and there'll be music, and there'll be coffee and donuts, and there'll be little kids running around, and they'll get to be immersed in a very vibrant social world it may be the only outing that they have all week. So yeah. I think you can't overestimate the importance of that getting out of the house. That sounds like I'm just coping with boredom, but really it's a vital social tie. It really is.
Well, I suppose that raises a question, Harold, and I'll let you take this one. If, in fact, one of the reasons why higher rates of religious participation may be correlated, are correlated with better health outcomes, could that be just as well achieved by being a member of a bowling club or a bridge club? Is it just about being a member of an extended social organization, or does the faith element matter here as well?
Well, I great question. Here's my response to the first part. I think that those outcomes, the business of healthcare, the whole idea of being able to get out and get involved and to engage in meaningful relationships, clearly that can be met in through other types of organizations. I would not say that the church has a monopoly on that kind of thing. Or shall I, let's make it, whether it's the masjid, whether you're visiting a synagogue, whether you're involved in a Buddhist community, however you want to classify that gathering that has some faith piece to it, I would say that that community that does not monopolize that type of experience. However, I think though there is something to be said about being involved in those faith kind of communities, because again, a lot of the networks you're probably a little more comfortable with. I think there might be even a little more a freedom to have an authentic expression of who one is. I think in these religious kind of gatherings, people often have these life-altering moments where they are actually challenged with decisions that they have to make. And some of these decisions with which they're confronted could very well have to do with their health, with their mental well-being, and then other types of information could be distributed there that can help them get whatever it is they need. So to respond then, I think that there are other ways that these other needs and types of experiences can be had. However, I think that perhaps some of these faith communities, these theologically kind of oriented gatherings, do have something just a little bit special.
That's Harold Bennett, professor of philosophy and religion at Morehouse College. We were also speaking with Ellen Eidler, professor of sociology at Emory, lead author of a study finding a close relationship between religious participation and positive health outcomes. Thank you to both.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.